good in the world. He wants to blow your house down. And what happens is we back down. We're people of peace. And, well, we just want peace and we're peacemakers. And what happens is the enemy strikes fear in the heart of the Israelites. And they begin to back off. They slowly backed away. I feel for the men today. I feel something for the men. But I've got a word for some of our women today. And the Holy Ghost, I'm gonna tell you, let me show you something real quick. This is not my message, it's something. See that right there? What that is right there? That right there. Most kidney stones you are supposed to be able to pass, you don't even see. You don't even know it, just burns a little bit, you don't even know it. And then there are those that are just barely can see with the naked eye, they just like a piece of pepper. And then there are those that are normal and then they have to go in and sonic boom and blast them and then you pass them naturally. And that's very painful. Then there are those like these that block everything. And I laid there and I told y'all the other day that I've dealt with a little issue in my own life. I've dealt with some things. You knew I was going through some things in my own family, dealing with some situations. But because I laid there in that half in, half out state, and I heard in there, they said in the room with me, because they had to put you completely under, put tubes down your throat, and they said, you mean that little bitty thing caused all that pain? And I heard that surgeon say, that ain't little. He said, that's a big kidney stone. He said, that's not a little kidney stone. Ma'am, he said, that's a good sized kidney stone. But in our eyes, it looked so small. But yet, my whole body was focused on that one little point. Because one point of that little bitty thing right there went in that urethra tube and it got stuck in the wall somewhere. And everything in that body backed up. All because of one little point. All because of one little issue. I watched years of my relationship, years, the last little bit come to a grinding halt over one point. Over one point. Now, he had a point. I had a point. Bless God. We're going to stand on our point, bless God. Flow, if you will. I want that anointing to flow. I don't want anything in here to back up the flow of the anointing. And so let me just say this, and I'll move on very quickly, because I'm not going to be but a few minutes, and I'm going to let you worship and have it. If not, y'all going to have to tote this one out of here. But I'm about halfway squatted right now. When I get on down, then y'all just have to hold me up. Somebody. Just Wayne, you can sit down, and I'll just sit on your back or something. Point is this. One little bitty issue. My whole body was focused. If you are not careful, you can get so caught up on one little thing, so caught up on one little point, that it will control your whole spiritual body, if you will. Amen. I want the surgeon, if he will, in this service before it's over. Because I'm looking at you, and what should be joy on some of your faces. It looks like the Philistines have snuck in and took a little joy. Because you might be crying, but there's such pain on your face. You might be worshiping, but there's pain on your face when there should be joy. When there should be rejoicing. When there should be celebrating. Don't focus on one point or one issue. Amen. Let the anointing flow in this service, if you will. Amen. I want to bring out one little point, and then there I go. One little point. I had to teach on a stone. Somewhere in here I got to put a stone in this message. Read verse 2. Verse 1, it says, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched Shoko and Azekah and Ephesdamim, and I'm not going to even go there. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, pitched by the valley of Elah, set the battle in array against the Philistines. Here we go, verse 3. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side. Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. There was a valley between them. Israel on one side, Philistines on the other side. Drop down to verse 21. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army, against army. Army, the Bible says if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. What in the world? Why are we just lining up army against army? We're sitting there going, Red Rover, send Joey right over. That's not the way it was designed to be. Because watch this right here. You look at the Hebrew word. This is what I found in studying this morning. Look at the Hebrew word for the word army there. The Hebrew word for the word army meant battle lines. So look at it in your mind. They drew battle lines, if you would. Brother Rogers, they drew a battle line here, and they drew a battle line here. And what happened was in the middle there is where David ran down to meet Goliath. And in the middle there was this no man's land. In the middle there is where the enemy hurled insults across. And they drew battle lines in the sand. I began reading there in the first book of Samuel chapter 17. And it goes on in verse 29. And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Amen. I can let you return to your seats. I'm not going to be long. You can return to your seats, and I might have jumped into it prematurely because I know that I'm at day four, and I'm supposed to be 7 to 10 days in the bed. I've still got stents everywhere from top to bottom, so if you want to sit down, go sit down. I won't be but just a few minutes. You can just ride with me. Amen. Thank you. All right, verse 21. The battle in array, army against army. And David said in verse 29, "What now have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard, David spake, they rehearsed then before Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, verse 32, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." Brother Rogers, he put fear down in him. He struck fear down in the hearts of the Israelites. And David said, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." He said, "Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." I just wonder, is there anybody? The enemy's drawing up lines, and he's daring you to come across. I just wonder, are there any ladies in here that still know how to pray? Any ladies in here still know how to fight? Any young people in here still know how to worship? Amen. Verse 33, "And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him." To take off my jacket, but I'm about to burn up or pass out one, so we're just gonna go easy. That's what we're gonna do. You're just gonna ride with me or go with me to the hospital. One, have faith, pray. Woo, church, pray. Thank God, there's no visitors. Amen. Because I'm fixing to minister to some of you, and I'm fixing to talk to some of you. Amen. Because a half in, half out state. God, tell you what, in a half in, half out state, God gave me a dream. And I stood with some of the church people and I watched a person in this church, face as plain as day. And I watched them as they went to a set of stairs. And I watched them as they looked back at me and I hollered, "No, no, 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 no." And they went with a person from the world and they went down a dark set of stairs. Down, mind you. They went down a dark set of stairs. And it was some type of bar, some type of restaurant bar. And I looked, and in the window was neon signs for different types of alcohol. And I watched as a child of God, a person in this church, very vivid, very plain, had already asked and talked with Sister Johnson about this individual. Had already filled out, said, I feel something. I've got something there, and I just can't put my finger on it. I just can't get to it. And in that semi-drugged, when they put you totally under, somewhere in coming out of that, somewhere laying in that bed, It came to me, and I watched that individual as they walked to that set of stairs. And with me saying, no, 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 no. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. They turned, looked at me, and smiled. And walked down that set of stairs. With a woman and two of our. Oh, and it upset me. I came out of it and I asked my wife, I said, what do you think that means? And I talked to her this morning. What in the world? She said, let's just hope it was the drugs. Let's just hope it didn't mean anything. But it troubled me. And so before I run out of gas, I figured I'm going to preach what God give me. I'm going to give you what God give me. Amen. So in verse 33, Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him. You just had surgery. Oh, I'm sorry I was adding that. You be but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. David said unto Saul, thou thy servant keep his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And when I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. He applied the natural. He applied as keeping sheep, him being a shepherd, keeping the sheep. And lion, you know what he was doing? He was building his faith. You know what he's doing? He was probably scared to death, if truth be known. He was probably just like you and I. No different. The Goliath was 10 foot tall. Don't think David was some hero macho warrior. He was this little running kid that was scared, slapped to death. He just knew who he was and who he believed. He just knew who his God was. The same as you and I. Just sometimes we don't know who we serve. We don't know who's down on the inside. We don't know in whose name we're going forward. That's the thing. If you did, you'd claim every step you took in this city. Everywhere you went in this city, you'd claim it in Jesus' name. Every restaurant, every person you went to. I walked in that hospital yesterday, and I walked back through, walked straight back into the nursery. They never said a word, did they? Wouldn't let my wife even in there, never said one word. I walked by, and I said, I guess it's a pastor's heart. Or a shepherd's heart. But I got to go pray for one of my saints. They turned around and looked at me and said, he's going to be one of mine eventually. They just smiled. They said, well, that's fine. They're glad to have him. She said, we are too. We're so glad to have you. Went right back in that nursery. Laid hands on him. Began to speak in tongues. Intercessory prayer. Went moving in the nursery. Laid hands on the baby. I said, I don't know why I got a burden, but I got a burden. I could not leave the nursery. Brother David will tell you, I stood right there. My sister Miranda put my hand on her shoulder. I went to walk away. I turned around and put my hand back on that baby's bare chest. It had wires and patches and everything there. I said, in the name of Jesus, God, you got to touch him. Intercessory prayer began to move. I said, brother, I can't go nowhere. I got a burden. I said, it's not normal. I don't normally do this. I prayed intercessory prayer to the woman. Got up, come in there and look. When we got done praying, we walked out and she said that was all right. We went on out. I got out to the truck. I took Brother David's hand. I got in the truck. I was already hurting, friend. If you never had, it's got stents in places stents ought not have belonged. It's very painful. They said it would be. It's steady. Trust me, it ain't stopped bleeding yet. Just guarantee it. So just ride with me. We're just as real. And I ain't got nothing to hide. We're all in this together. I want you to know one thing. I'm here because I love you, and I'm here because I got a burden. I'm here because I got a message. Because otherwise, I'd be at home in the bed. And so I got in the truck and he stuck his hand through the window. And when he did, a spirit of travail moved right there in the parking lot. And I began to cry and begin to speak in tongues and begin to wail. He just stood beside the truck with the window down and just cried and spoke in tongues right there in the parking lot of the hospital. I said, brother, I don't know what's going on. You know what I was doing? I was on a battlefield. What you couldn't see, what I couldn't see, I was already in no man's land, honey. I was already in a battle for the life of a young baby. Hours before it ever happened, honey, a burden came. I could not walk away from it. I sat there for probably 15 minutes. We stood and cried and spoke in tongues. And he said, Pastor, I'm praying for you. I said, I gotta go. I gotta go. I gotta go. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the church to pray, son. I got to go to the church to pray because I got a burden. I don't know why I got a burden. I said, I don't know if it's for your baby. I don't know if it's for Brother Taylor. I don't know if it's for the service tomorrow. But all I know is I'm going to pray. I'm going to act on the burden. Let God move wherever God's got to move. I came to the church and for about an hour I sat in the dark in here and I began to cry and talk to God. I began to wail. I asked God whatever it is. Will He move in the service? This morning in the office I tried to study. And the more I studied, the more I cried, the more I prayed. Can I tell you? When you get in prayer, you are in a no man's land. You can't see it, and that's why you stop. I'm going somewhere. You're just going to have to ride with me just a minute. The problem is, and I'm not going to qualify it by a bunch of scriptures. I'm just going to give you my point and my thought, and we're going to just move in the Holy Ghost in just a second. But the thing is this. The Bible says, let's just say this. David had to go back to a previous victory. He had to go back. So many times God has done things for us. God has moved on our behalf. God has worked a miracle. And we've walked off and left it behind us in the memory. And God meant it for a memorial. It was for us to put stones and put an altar at and come back to that altar. Come back to that place. And so we find here now jumping down to verse 37, the Bible says, and the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with me. Verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine, jumping down to 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Don't you understand, when he drew a battle line and glared at the army of God, he was defying the God we serve. Every time the enemy bows up his old back, every time he whispers in your ear, he's defying peace. He's defying joy. He's defying deliverance. He's sneering in the face of God. Verse 45. They said, David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of the hosts, of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee and take thine. He was already speaking it into existence. It has not happened yet. I told you the other day, when he come up and he said, I've given you Jericho, all we can focus on are the walls. All we can look at are how high the walls are when he's already given us the city. David's speaking it into existence. He's building his faith. And he said, I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day into the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Can I tell you, God's doing some things for His glory. Can I tell you, God's doing some things for His glory. Sister, man, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Can I tell you through this? Now, I'm not speaking a prophetic word. I just know that I had a burden. I prayed. God answered prayer thus far. I'm believing that everything's going to be all right. Because what's the sense in having faith if you can't believe in a miracle? If you can't believe in a healing, you may as well put your Bible up, go home. Amen. And so, look at verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Everybody say, the battle is the Lord's. And He will give you into our hands. Verse 48, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it. and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. I told you I'd get a stone somewhere in here. And he fell upon the face of the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. God provided everything there. God has provided for you and I. Faith is there. He each has given a measure of faith, the Bible says. Mercy is new every day. God has given us what we need. Amen. Everything you need is right here in this service today. You go home empty-handed, it's your fault. If you go home weak, if you go home weary, if you go home depressed, it's your fault. Everything you need is right here in this service this afternoon. And so we find in verse 50, and so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. I looked at that and I want to remind you, and if I could just jump back just a hair, the enemy is very domain minded. The enemy is out for dominion. He's out to steal your joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. The enemy is out to steal your joy. Brother Lowry, he wants to steal every bit of the joy that you have and leave you weak as a Christian, weak as a saint, weak standing there, nothing left to give. Why? You no longer have a joy. You no longer have a laugh. You no longer have a smile. Why? The enemy has encroached upon your soul, and every bit you lay down, he picks up. Every time you miss a service, every time you don't move in a service when God is coming by, and you let that opportunity pass you by, you lay it down, the enemy picks it up. If I were to lay down holiness, the enemy would pick it up and he would move one step closer into the church. Lay down truth, he picks it up one step closer. You lay down your worship, he picks it up one step closer. Pretty soon he has dominion. Pretty soon he has control. Pretty soon he owns praise. Like the Philistines, he's got Shoko, if you will, and he has taken their praise. And if you're not careful, you'll come to the house of God and no longer will you praise him. You'll come to the house of God, you no longer will worship. You won't be sensitive to the move of God. You won't be sensitive to the word of God. You know what the word is doing? The word's putting a stone in your hand. You know what the word and the preacher's doing? It's putting a stone in your hand. It's building your faith, if you will. But what do you do? And I'm gone because I'm quickly fading. Preaching about faith and going on, and I'm slowing down. That's why I had some of these young brethren up here with me today. Because I knew I was going to need them. Now, watch. I want to look very quickly at that last verse. Verse 51, before I go to the next one. Verse 50. Go to verse 50. But there was no sword. Swords on the battlefield. Swords all around him. God give him a sling. He give him a stone. That's all he needed. But he needed a little more to get the job done. He was obedient and he done everything he could. Do you realize that you come to a service like today and you step up and you get a partial blessing? You get partial victory. You get partially there. You knock him down, but you don't kill him. You knock him down, but you don't deliver a fatal blow. You knock him down when the word has placed the sword right here in your hand. And what happens is you don't take that word that God gives you. And you just leave the sword on the battlefield and you walk away and leave a partial victory laying on the battlefield and think that everything's going to be okay. No, sir. No, ma'am. That's not the way it works. He said not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. God intends you to pick up the word, take it, apply it, live by it, and take it and cut Goliath's head off with it. But I want to jump. I want to skip a lot in the middle. And I want to jump to this last part. What do you do when you have no more to give? What do you do when there's no sword in your hand? What do you do when you've done everything? What do you do? And I'm asking you to take a step of faith with me and allow me to jump to the end. I'm going to tie them together in just a second, and I'm almost done. What do you do when you give? What do you do when you're standing on the battlefield? Goliath's down, but you got nothing left to give. What do you do when you give all you can give, and in your marriage you got nothing left? And in your life, and in your health, and in your body, and you're going through things. And what do you do when you're basically at the end of your rope, if you will? I can say it that way. What do you do, David? When, see, a lot of stuff transpired in these next scriptures. A lot of stuff went on. A lot of stuff happened. And just for sake of time, I don't have time to go back over Goliath and how he stood there in 40 days. He defied. And all the things that went on, they tried to put the armor on David. And he just had to take the sling. He had to take what God had given him. God's given you prayer. God's given you faith. God's given you the word. God's given you a man of God, a pastor's wife. He's given you brothers and sisters. He's given you the kingdom of God, the word of God. Everything you need, it is here. And what happened here was David, he picked up the sling. He went down. He got on the battlefield. He knocked Goliath down. But then he had to go and kill him. And he had to take that sword. And he cut off his head. Now, fast forward several verses, several chapters there. Fast forward in time, we find David. And he has no battle. No, he's on the battlefield again. The enemy has drawn battle lines again. And here David is, only this time, he's got nothing left to give. There's no food, there's no bread, there's no weapon, there's no anything. And I begin to read in verse 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 8. And the Bible said, "And David said unto Ahimelech, Is there not a weapon here under thine hand, spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." Ever felt like life was going so fast? You worked so hard. You work day shift. You work night shift. You work any shift that you can work. You work two shifts, double shifts. You work part-time jobs. You work a full-time job plus a part-time job. You do stuff on the side. Then you have to be at church. And then you have to have your family. And then you have to cook supper and wash clothes. And then life sets you back. And I've watched in several brethren, some have had to start all over again in life. And as men, that takes a blow upon your ego. And it takes a blow upon your pride. And as women and as wives want security. Wives just want to be sure that everything's going to be all right. Wives want to know that everything's going to be okay. And wives want to know that it's secure. They just want to know that they're going to have enough money to make it. The husband's wondering where it is going to come from. We've all been there. We've all been there. Nobody with, there's no sanctimonious self-righteous spirits in here. Every one of us have been there. Every one of us have made decisions that had to come back around and we start all over. But it don't mean we can't make it, Brother Lowry. It don't mean we should stay right here and live with it. I don't care if you're 25, 35, 45, or 55. We've all been there. Shoot, I just started at 45, 44, whatever. But Brother Lowry, you're living proof. You're living witness that if you got a mind to work and you're willing to learn and you're willing to apply yourself. Sister Lowry, you're proof that if you get behind your husband, if you support your husband, if you get behind the marriage and you fight with everything in you. I look and say it can be done. If they can do it, bless God, I can do it. And so I look here at David, verse 9 says, and the priest said to the sword of, and the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. Everybody say it's in the house of God. And it's behind the ephod. You know what the ephod represents? What does the ephod represent? Worship. Worship. The Philistines, they were out to steal the praise. The Philistines, they were out to defeat the man of God. They get over here in verse, in chapter 28, and he said, man, I gotta have a weapon. Where am I gonna find a weapon? He said, over there at the house of God. And he said, you gotta go inside, you gotta talk to the man of God. And he said, when you get in the house of God and you begin to talk to the man of God, he's going to tell you about a sword. The sword represents the word. How are we going to do it? We're going to go back to the word. You're going to get a hold of the word. You're going to get a hold of the word. Now, he said, it's back behind the ephod. Verse 9 says, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it. For there is no other save it, save that here. And David said, there is none like it. Give it to me. David again had to go back to a victory. He went back to the lion. He went back to the bear. And he said, if God can deliver me from that, he can deliver me from the Philistine. And he comes over here on this side. And he said, there's nothing like this. He went back again to a memorial. Back again to a place of victory. Back again to where God delivered him. And he held on to the word, if you would. The Bible says the promises of God are yea and amen. More than anything, get a hold of the word. More than anything, get a hold of the promises of God. Very quickly, Psalms 144 and 1. I'm closing now. Very quickly. Psalms 144 and 1, read it. Brother Lyra, read it. If you're willing to fight, if you're willing to pray, if you're willing to get a hold of this thing, Brother Chuck, if you're willing for our young people to get a hold of this, revival is here. It's already been given to us. We just got to get a hold of it, Brother Gooden. You just got to have faith, trust God, believe, get a hold of it. Jeremiah 48 and 10. Jeremiah 48 and 10 says what? I know you got an iPad, and I love iPads. I love my iPad. Trust me. But there's nothing like that black book right here. It impacted me the other night when I got my grandfather's Bible, my dad's Bible, and my Bible, and I lined them up right there. You know what that is? That's a sword. That's a generational thing that's passed down. That's a weapon that's been passed down. My father brought in to me this week, or last week when he was here, he brought in a gun. He said, here, son, I want to give you something. And I want to give you this. And I said, well, what is it? And he said, here. And I recognized the look of it. It was a gun that my grandfather had when he was a man, when he was a young man. My dad got it when he was just a little boy. My dad is 71. And he gave me this gun. It's a Belgium-made Browning. Made in Belgium, not in Japan, like they are now, but made back in Belgium, back in 1950s. And it's a 16 gauge, which they no longer make anymore. And it's called a Sweet 16. Worth a lot of money. It's valuable. And he gave that to me. It was a weapon passed down from my grandpa to my dad to me. I'll pass it down to my boys. I'm not sure which one. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Not sure which boy's got to go. And so he said, this weapon, it'll work. Jeremiah 48 and 10 said, cursed be the man that keeps his old sword back from blood. Or in other words, just keeps it laying down. Keeps it laying down on the coffee table, if you will. Keeps it laying down over here on the shelf or on the dash of a car, but never picks it up. This Bible wasn't made to be a paperweight. It wasn't made to just be an ornament on a shelf, honey. This Bible was made to hide in your heart that you might not sin against God. It was made to be a lamp and a light unto your feet. Amen. In 2 Samuel, I'm not going to go there. It talks about in chapter 23 and verse 8 through 12, it talks about Eleazar. What did Eleazar take in his hand? The Bible says he took what? He took the sword in his hand and he held on to it so tight that it clave to his hand. You know what Eleazar was known for? His grip on the word. Eleazar, throughout all of history, what stood out about Eleazar was how he held on to the promise. He held on to the word. Go down a couple verses to Shammah. And Shammah simply stood his ground. I heard a story recently about the lions and the wildebeest and the migration and how the lions work. And the lions, what they do is they begin to push that herd of wildebeest. And they get them to running. And they try to get them to scatter. Now the wildebeest has big wicked looking horns. And he's wicked. If they would just turn and stand and fight, it would terrify the lions. The lions would back up. But they begin to single the wildebeest out for the beast. They single them out one by one and they get them to the side over here. And the wildebeest runs and he thinks he's outrunning them. We think sometimes, and I'm not going to go there, but young people, we think sometimes that we can outrun this thing. We can outrun the world. And we skirt on the outskirts and on the edges and we think we're doing okay because we're outrunning it for right now. And the lions are setting up relays. That's why the Bible says go about to and fro seeking whom he may devour. And he runs that wildebeest until he separates that wildebeest. But if they would just stay together, or they say if the wildebeest would just turn around as one and stand his ground, if he would just stand his ground, they say that the lion goes on because he's not looking for the one that'll stand and fight. He's not after the one that'll stand, brethren. He's after the one that's tucking tail and taking out running. He's after the one that's trying to get out of here. He's after the one that's looking for an easy escape route. And so I read in Ephesians 6 chapter 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers and against rulers, the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. When they told me one time years ago, when you see the word therefore, see what it's there for. If you see the word therefore in the Bible, see what it's there for. And if you look, the word therefore, it just says stand. Just stand your ground. Just stand for what's right. Just stand. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I did not want to dissect the whole armor of God. I wanted to read the whole thing. But I wanted to take out of that stand, having done all to stand. Not halfway, not leaving lay on the battlefield, not stand there, draw a battle line and look at each other and think, boy, we've been here before. But if we as a church can unite, hook up together, form one solid unified front, pulpit with pew, platform with pulpit, if we can stand together, a threefold cord is not easily broken. If we can learn to stand together, the line, he'll have to run on down the line, if you will, to find an easier target if we will just learn to stand. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know what I got out of here? Out of that whole verse. I got two words. Hold on. You know what I feel like right now? Besides all that. You know what I feel like the last few days? Sister Rogers, just hold on. Yes, if I can just hold on. If I can just hold on, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. You think, my God, I can't make it? Brother David, I just can't hardly make it. This is the end of the road for me. No, the Bible says hold on. Sometimes you may have to lay hold on it and hold on. But if you'll just hold on a little longer, the Bible says this too shall pass. Amen. Hold on. I don't care what others say. It don't matter what's happened in the past. It don't matter what's happened to other people. I'm still going to hold on. The promises of God are yea and amen. Amen. And I was looking. I don't know where my Bible went. Where's my Bible? Here it is. I wanted to, and I'm already done. I'm closed, matter of fact. But I want to read you one passage of Scripture. One passage of Scripture in closing. Luke chapter 18, 1 through 5. I'm trying to tell somebody, put something in your spirit. It ain't over yet. It's not time to give up. In a broken, fragmented word, it ain't time to give up. It ain't time to quit. It's time to hold on. It's time to draw a line if you would. Okay, we're not backing up. We're not giving in. We're not quitting. In the book of Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them, saying to this end, that men ought always to pray. Everybody say always to pray and not to faint. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, with neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. He would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He's asking the question here in verse 7. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? You know what the secret is? Not quitting crying day and night. He didn't say he avenged those that quit crying. He didn't say he avenged those that quit mocking. He didn't say he avenged those that just lay down on the battlefield halfway through. He said he avenged those. He went to bat for those. He fought the fight for those who kept on crying, who kept on praying, who did not faint.